In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and we do this broadcast live. Jesus is outside on the Mount of Olives, looking into the Temple of Jerusalem. The Mount of Olives is the mount that is higher than Mount Zion. Mount Zion is where the Temple of Jerusalem is built. And it says this, "As they sat upon the Mount of Olives, Jesus said these things, 'Amen, amen, I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.'" Talking about the Temple of Jerusalem. At that time, the Temple of Jerusalem was one of the seven wonders of the world. One of the seven wonders of the world. And Jesus says, "Not a stone upon a stone shall remain." And we heard in the 11th chapter of St. John, why? The Jewish Pharisees and Sadducees said they were calling Jesus king, and if Caesar found out that Jesus was being called king, he'd close their sanctuary, he'd close their temple. Well, anyway, they gave Jesus up to death, and the temple was destroyed in the year 70. I'm telling the church something very important. You give Jesus up, and your doors will close, whether you be Catholic, Protestant, or Orthodox. You give Jesus up, and you think Jesus, and you're ashamed of Jesus. I'm telling you, your religion will die. Your church will die. I'm telling you, my friend, you can have the most beautiful church in the whole world. It can be filled with oriental rugs. But do the people know and love Jesus Christ? Have they offered their lives as living sacrifices of praise? Or are they only churchgoers? St. Augustine says, everyone the church has, Christ doesn't have. And everyone Christ has, the church doesn't have. We want everyone that the church has, that Christ has. It's not true, though. We have a lot of churchianity going on and not much of Christianity. I tell you, the church is here to preach Jesus Christ. Our only objective is to proclaim Jesus. You know who says that? Paul the Sixth. The object of the church's love is Jesus Christ. The church exists to evangelize. The church exists to proclaim Jesus Christ. I did not say that. Paul the Sixth said that. And I will also tell you, a church that does not proclaim Jesus Christ and call people to conversion, that they give their lives to Jesus, challenging people, I'm telling you, is a church that has no merit in the eyes of the Lord. No merit. We have so watered down our faith that it's not the faith of the apostles. If St. Peter and St. Paul saw the faith that we have in 2011, I think they'd say it is so watered down, it is not the faith that we died for. Oh yes, we can have all the right words, and I'm not against right words. We can have all the right doctrine, and I'm not against the right doctrine. But the church is the people. People that have decided that they have and are living for the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, there are not many people living for Jesus Christ. There are not many people living. I know that. I know. You know how I know that? Because, my friends, today at Planned Parenthood, 30 women were exploited, and 30 children died in abortion, and who is out there to do anything? You see, we're all so comfortable. I also want to tell you, my friends, if any one of your friends are on hospice, make sure they're not giving your elderly friends and relatives an overdose of morphine, killing people before they should die. This is happening. We call it mercy killing. Yeah, mercy killing, all right. You see, we've gone the other extreme, and no one talks against it. We talk about the West, and we say, you know what? The West, we have men and women, before they get married, cohabitating. In Massachusetts, we have the law that two women and two men can be married. I tell you, my friends, and what have we done about it? What has the church said about it? How have we stood up against evil? And when a good person and a good church does not stand up against evil, I tell you, evil triumphs. So as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us then, of these things that shall be, what shall be the sign of the coming, your coming, and the sign of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and they shall deceive many. Can I just tell you something? I'm going to tell you, this is a very important thing. I'm telling you, the word money, money, money. How many of our brothers and sisters and preachers have been deceived by money? Do you know that the love of money is the root of all evil? Money is not the root of all evil, the love of money. Can I tell you that this ministry has been going on for 27 years? Can I tell you that I could be a rich man stealing, but I know that if I steal, I am not under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, when you have a ministry, you can really do people in. That's real. The love of money is the root of all evil. And there are many people that have come in the name of Jesus Christ that are all about money, all about finances. I'm telling you, my friends, not me. You want to know why? Because God supplies my needs. Jesus supplies my needs. I hear the words that St. Paul says, quoting Jesus, it is better to give than to receive. I tell you, my friends, by the grace of the living God, money was not my temptation. When I get money for radio, it goes to radio. When I get money for Holy Rosary, it goes to Holy Rosary. I tell you, I'm not into money. Many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. Oh, yes, they say that he is Christ. But what they really want is that their pockets get filled. There is one way to make sure that you're not in it for the money, and that's to give at least 10% to the Lord. It's called tithing. And that's not only to the people, that's to the priest. If I told you how much I gave each month and how much I give each month, you wouldn't believe it. And I'm not going to tell you. But the point of the matter is I must make sure that I'm not in it for money. I have been anointed to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, and I have been called by the church. And I do not do this for money. I do this out of love of God and love of people. I told you a couple of weeks ago that during the summer I was not able to preach. I was so sick. And we had to put on tapes. I thought the ministry was going to go into the ground. People were saying, Father, you're not preaching. What's wrong? You're not preaching. What's wrong? We're listening to tapes. What's wrong? But I couldn't preach. I was sick. I was sick. I couldn't preach. And I would say to Leslie, you've got to give WROL another week of tapes because I can't do it. Do for 3 more weeks. Do for 4 more weeks. This is real. It broke my heart. The hardest thing in the world was to start preaching again. But let me tell you, I don't preach because I want money. I preach so that maybe you might come to know him and give your life to him. His name is Jesus. I preach so that you might hear the truth and that you might give everything over to him. His name is Jesus. You see, I preach to Catholics that they would become Christians. Saint Augustine made a big distinction. He called himself a Catholic Christian. You can be a Catholic and not be a Christian. That's real. That's real. That's why the gospel needs to be preached, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You can be a Catholic and not be a Christian. You can be a Baptist and not be a Christian. You can be a Pentecostal and not be a Christian. You see, many will come in the name of Jesus Christ, and they shall deceive many. Because I'm telling you, they'd be into money. They'd be into money. How are they going to fleece their pockets? I have a God who takes care of me. I have a God who takes care of me. I have a God who takes care of me. And then you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't be troubled, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not yet. Yeah, wars. We hear of wars all over. We hear of disturbances all over. We hear of people standing up all over the world saying we want the government to supply for us. Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Yeah. Famines. We've been hearing of famines. How many children have died in a certain African country just recently? Thousands and thousands. Famines and pestilences and earthquakes. Yeah. Have you ever heard of so many earthquakes, even in the United States on the eastern shore? All these are the beginning of sorrows. Have we begun the beginning of sorrows? Maybe. Maybe. The beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows means there are deeper sorrows that are coming. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. I wonder how many of us would give our lives until death, including myself. Then, after the beginning of sorrows, they're going to deliver us up to be afflicted, and they'll kill us, and we'll be hated by all nations for the name of Jesus. I wonder how many of us would give our lives for the sake of Christ. I wonder. I'm going to tell you, I'm the biggest of all chickens. I would need the grace of God so deep in my life. I would need God to give me grace. If that ever happened to me, I know that if I didn't have the grace of God, I would kind of get out of it. I would kind of make excuses. I told you a long time ago that I was put in jail for pro-life, and I decided to pay the court costs. And I remember saying to the Lord, I know I've denied you, Lord. And you know what he said? You'll have another chance. Didn't want to hear that one, I'll tell you. You'll have another chance. They will bring you to the courts. My Lord, my Lord. We have people that don't give the tithe, how could people give their lives to Jesus? And yet last week, as I was saying on WEZE, last week, our brothers and sisters, Coptic brothers and sisters, were killed in Egypt. Killed in Egypt, many of them, because they're Christians. And the Muslims killed them unto death. We need to pray for them. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and they shall deceive many. You know, you can tell a false prophet, okay? They're in it for the money. They're in it to get rich. They're in it to make a name for themselves. I tell you, if you preach the cross, you will not be a false prophet. Because if you preach the cross, you'll have to live the cross. Who preaches the cross of Jesus Christ? Who preaches the power of his blood and the power of his redemption? Where do we find people proclaiming that blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of righteous Abel? Who is proclaiming the passion, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Many false prophets shall rise up and deceive many. They'll talk about healing. I'm into healing, but healing comes through the blood of Jesus. But they'll talk about healing without the cross. That's a false prophet. The kingdom of God has been initiated through the ministry of Jesus and through the coming of his cross, through the proclamation of his cross, through his death and resurrection. We need people that are going to proclaim the cross. Far be it from me, St. Paul says, to proclaim anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified, where I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And listen to the next one. Because of the increase of sin, the love of many shall grow cold. We are living in those days. Because of the increase of sin, the love of many will grow cold. How much time do we spend with God and with Christ in prayer? Because of the increase of sin. If sin hasn't increased, I'm going to tell you, we don't have any idea. You go to college campuses, you've got Sodom and Gomorrah going on. You know what Father Matthew told me? He says, when he was in Dedham, he says, we get them converted, they come to know Jesus Christ, and then we send them to Sodom and Gomorrah, we send them to the local college, and they are different, and they don't want to be different, and many of them just give in. That's real. That's real. I knew that. He didn't have to tell me that. That's real. That's real. We get them converted. Then they're taken to go to some college. And everybody's sleeping with everybody else. And they don't want to be different. That's real. That's real. Because of the increase of sin, the love of many will grow cold. Increase of sin. As I said, we killed at least 30 children today at Planned Parenthood. I'll never forget Planned Parenthood when the truck came by. It talked about waste. I said, this isn't waste. These are arms and legs and heads you're collecting. This isn't waste, medical waste. These are arms and heads and legs you are collecting. Yeah. At least 30 children were killed today. 30 women were desecrated. And where is the church? Where is the church? Sin has really increased. And we don't even call sin sin anymore. You know? How do I know that? Because people hear confessions and nobody comes. I want to tell you something about Holy Rosary. Our little parish, we don't have many people. But last night, after the 7:30 Mass, Father Joseph went into the confessional to hear confessions. Friday night, after the 7:30 Mass, Father Joseph will go into the confessional and hear confessions. Tonight, I do the 7:30 Mass. If somebody wants to get to confession, they'll come up to me and I will hear their confession. Every Saturday between 4:30 and 5, confessions are heard. If you are in a parish that they have confessions for a half an hour, I think you need to tell the pastor, why don't you just say we don't do confessions? Because if you're just going to give it a half an hour, people are busy and they're not going to come. You understand what I'm saying? How can you have confessions for a half an hour? And yet, sin has increased and the love of many has grown cold. And we don't offer that sacrament where people can repent and turn their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? This is important. This is very important. It is important for people to realize their sin and also to realize the mercy of God. I don't want to realize my sin without the mercy of God. I'm going to tell you that. I don't want to look at my sin without the mercy of God and the blood of Jesus. I don't want to look at my sin because, you know what, it's too scary. But today, people don't sin. We're all so good. Yeah, we're all so good. We're changing the world, are we? And that's what saints do. Saints change the world. We're all so good, you know, that we don't go to confession. We don't confess our sins. We don't repent. Because we're all so good. You know? I don't think so. I tell you that sin has increased. Sin has increased. And the love of many has grown cold. If your love has grown cold, it's time for you to begin again. And I know how humiliating that is, to begin again. If your love has grown cold, to begin again with prayer, personal prayer. If your love has grown cold, it's time to start the race again. Go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning and start again. Because the love of many have grown cold. If you are a preacher and you're not praying, you've got to start again. God is calling you to pray again. If you are a preacher and you preach on a Sunday, you've got to open the scriptures. God is calling you to open the scriptures. It is time to begin again. It is. Because if we don't begin again, we will be of no use to the Lord during this great time of trouble that we are experiencing now and we will be experiencing in the months and years to come. It is time to begin again. Tonight at 7:30, there will be Mass at Holy Rosary. It's Tuesday. It's the Feast of St. Luke. It's the 18th of October. You're welcome to come. I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. Not one cent comes to me. Please, if these broadcasts are a blessing, you write. The mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. If you have sinned, I'm going to tell you, honey, the Lord wants to forgive you. Don't be tormented by sin because Jesus shed his blood for you. I don't care what you've done. The blood of Jesus speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. If you've had an abortion, I want to tell you the Lord wants to forgive you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to forgive you. Come to confession. Please. The Lord wants to forgive you. And he wants to start you on a new road. No matter what you've done, our Lord Jesus Christ, his blood speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel that cried out for vengeance. Listen, I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. One more time. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And Jimmy the Roofer, 617-519-0341. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.